Listening Dog Media.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie. Promoting women's football since 2013.
Tash and I are back for this week's mailbag. Worth us mentioning straight from the off that we have a brand new way for you to get your questions into us. You might want to make sure that you've got a little bit of makeup on and that you use a nice area of the house because it's a video link, and we're going to post it all over our social channels at Offside Rule Pod on TikTok, on Instagram and on X. And it means you'll be able to get in touch if you've got any queries that you want from the world of women's football for us to answer. We can get on to those. Very high tech, isn't it, Tash?
It is, yes. Bit too high tech for my liking even. I think every week I have this struggle. I even had a really lovely setup today in my mum's front room. The lighting was perfect. I was looking good. And now you can't even see me.
No, I can't see you today. We can hear you, though, loud and clear. We will give people instructions as well, because it is a video-based forum where you'll be able to leave your questions. We will give some people some advice as to how to make sure that doesn't happen to them, Tash.
Exactly.
Let's get into question one for this week. Sherry in York got in touch. Thank you very much, Sherry, for your question. All off the back of an international week, and you've said, can Tash tell us her verdict, please, on where the Lionesses are compared to 2 years ago? Have they gone forwards? Have they gone backwards? Are they about the same? And please give your reasoning and early prediction for how you think they would do at the Euros if they qualify. I'm glad you put that bit in, Sherry, because we can't take anything for granted here. We've got to qualify first.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think it's a great question. I think we've touched on it quite heavily in the pod with regards to that. I think we spoke about when I've got the two teams here. I've got the team that played the last game against Sweden in front of me compared to the team that won the Euro. And when I look at it, I mean, the main differences that jump out on me is definitely the centre-half partnership. So we had Brighton Williamson starting in the final. The other day, it was Alex Greenwood and Ruben Moy. So straight away there, you see changes. And Neve Charles has come into the back line instead of Rachel Daly. So three out of the back four is completely different. And then when you look at that midfield three, you've got your regulars in there, your Walsh and Stanway. They've got that partnership, you know, they've been playing together for a long time now. But it's this number 10 role that seems to be the one that Serena Wiegmann has been playing with regards to, is it a Kirby? Is it a Jess Park? Is it a Clinton? You know, so I think she's really been experimenting with that role. So you've almost got four players fighting for that number 10 role. So I'm not too sure she knows who her best number 10 is yet. And when I look at the front three, you know, it was Mead, Ellen White and Hemp that started the finals. The other day, Hemp was in there, but she was the only one. So Russo's obviously the new number nine that Serena seems to go to. And then obviously your Lauren James, who plays off the left. So where are they compared to 2 years ago? I think it sounds weird to say a bit of a transition period, because I wouldn't say it's a transition period, but I do think that Serena is figuring out who her best 11 is. And she needs to figure that out sooner rather than later, because she's got a squad of very talented players. And I'm not saying the squad she's got now is any less stronger than the squad she had 2 years ago. I think some players are stronger even than maybe what she had a couple of years ago. But I think what she had 2 years ago was consistency of players playing together, partnerships that were consistent, regularly, week in, week out, at club level, and then on the international scene. Whereas now, I think you have a lot of new faces that have come in to the England setup, new partnerships throughout the units. And really, can you afford to be experimenting when you're trying to qualify for the Euros? It could have cost them against Sweden the other day. They could have come away losing 2-1. Luckily, they got the point. But against France and Republic of Ireland, are they teams that really you can experiment with? I'm not too sure.
And I wonder if Sherry's getting at, do we think that the Lionesses, should they qualify, that they can retain their title, their European crown? And how are they fared to do that? At the moment, I don't think that they're as equipped to do so as maybe the expectation around the Lionesses it might be. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's the Lionesses and they did well at the World Cup, they did well at the last Euros. That automatically means that once we qualify that we're going to go all the way to the final. And I think that other teams, rather than looking at us, I'm looking at the competition, and I think other teams are catching up, if not overtaking in some areas. But I do agree with you, Tash, that there is a lot of talent coming through that might even be better than the talent that we had.
Yep, 100%. I think the hardest part is actually going to be qualifying, because when you look at France and Republic of Ireland and Sweden, that is three top teams that England have got to try and get past. I think if they do qualify, which I'm confident they can, I don't think it's going to be easy, but I'm confident they can do it. Then that's when really the journey begins, because I think the favourites are most definitely Spain. I think, you know, I think their score against Belgium winning 7-0 says it all. And Belgium are a top team, by the way. So to spank Belgium 7-0, I think kind of puts a bit of a marker down to where Spain are right now compared to all the other teams. And then I would say the real competitors then would be your England, France, Sweden, Germany. I see those kind of four teams competing with Spain. And then a few dark horses, I think, could be your Norway's, Italy's and Netherlands. You know, Italy winning 2-0 against the Netherlands. I was actually a little bit surprised by that result. So when you look at them teams, there's some top, top teams in there. But I think you've got to say Spain are the heavy favourites, world champions. And can England qualify? Will they qualify with the teams that they've got to try and get past? I think it's going to be the toughest challenge for them yet. Let's put it that way.
I will make an early prediction, and we're nowhere near these European Championships yet, but I will make an early prediction that when it gets to those knockout stages, and maybe even in the groups, I think there's going to be more upsets than we've seen before. And I think you touched on it. I think there's teams coming through like your Italy's, and they'll knock out someone big. And actually, most of the time at these major tournaments, we've seen it go with form. But I think we're getting to a point now, a little bit like we have with the men's game, where there's always that, if you go to a major tournament, there's always that one team that surprises, or a couple of teams that manage to get further into the competition than you ever thought. I think that's starting to happen. I think that teams are really getting to a point where they could put a good run together for a tournament. Moving on next, Tash, to Nag, who's a regular at getting in touch with the show, KingWolf84, asking, has Tash heard of any other clubs increasing their investment in Tier 3, and which clubs should step up their investment?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the table, Lindsay, I think the table speaks volumes. So look at the top six: Newcastle, Burnley, Forest, Wolves, West Brom, Stoke and Derby. So all pretty big men's teams associated with them. And actually, having recently been to St George's Park, and I met up with a good friend of mine, Marie Hourihan, who's a manager of Stoke at the moment. And she was actually telling me the clubs that have been investing, and all those top seven pay their players. You know, so I think when you look further down the table, again, I can only talk about Liverpool Feds because I work with them. They don't get paid. You know, the players don't get paid any money whatsoever. So I think, from when speaking to Leanne Duffy, for instance, the Liverpool Feds manager, she did maybe say that there was rumours potentially that the likes of Burnley, your Forest, were going to go into that hybrid model of being semi-pro to kind of full-time. And like I said to you about your Wolverhampton team, I think they've been very vocal with regards to wanting to take the step up and to invest and to be, you know, who's going to be the new Newcastle next year. Because I think it's very obvious that when you do invest, like Newcastle have done this year, they've got back-to-back promotions. So I think that says it all, really. I think further down the table, the Liverpool Feds, really, they're going to be heavily relying on someone coming in, you know. So I think it's less likely for them unless, you know, some billionaire or millionaire wants to come in and invest in their team. So I would love to see that. I think that there's definitely opportunity there, especially with some of those big names in the Premier League. I what I'm interested in actually is if Burnley and Forest get relegated from the Premier League, will that then have an effect on whether or not they want to invest in the women's team? We've seen it with Reading, having been in the WSL for so long, then the men get relegated, the women get relegated, and then they already go part-time and the funding's pooled. So that would be really interesting to see how those two teams are affected.
And whether that further investment goes as far as it would have done. Like, there might be something, but that's the problem with the transparency in the women's game sometimes. We don't really hear from owners that much in the men's game, to be honest. But in the women's game, it's non-existent. You don't hear about them talking about the money and the investment. So you don't know what was promised compared to what's delivered, which I think is sometimes part of the issue, isn't it?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Offside Rule. Please leave us a review on your podcast app.
The Wolves Women podcast got in touch. Congratulations as well on their fundraising efforts. £500 for Dementia UK at an event recently, which involves some snacks, which is why we've got this question, Tash. What is both of your favourite pre-game halftime snack of choice watching the football as a fan?
Ooh.
So this is, you can eat anything now, Tash. This isn't when you're having to watch what you eat.
Oh my gosh. Lindsay, I'm always watching what I eat. I'm always a pro, pro athlete, no matter what. So, during a game, pre and mid time, half time, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and am I live at the game or am I at home?
Oh, you're going as a fan, you're going to be there.
I'm going
person.
As a fan. Yeah. Oh, well, it's got to be done. We've got to be doing hospitality, Lindsay. We can't be, we can't be doing burgers and hot dogs. So, hospitality seating, pre game, I'm going for a nice bit of lamb maybe before the game. And then at half time, they tend to do lovely pies at half time. And then after the game, they do a nice little cheese board. So yeah, I'm very lucky. Gone are the days where I had to go and get hot dogs or your pies and stuff. So I'm a bit bad when it comes to that now, Lindsay. I don't know if you're a bit different.
Well, I feel like I've got to represent the masses that can't go to hospitality.
Go
so
on,
I'll
then.
Let you do the hospo stuff. I'm going to say that pre-match, if I'm going out for a long day and I've got to travel to get to an away game, for instance, or to go to Wembley or to somewhere else to go and watch football, I usually will have a brunch. So rather than having a breakfast, I'll wait, have a bigger brunch that I know is going to last me until half time. And this doesn't sound very healthy, but I'm going to say it was a healthy brunch. Let's go for like a vegan or veggie brunch with lots of spinach and things like that. And then half time, I'm a chips girl. It's so simple. I'm just a chips girl.
Yes.
Because you can't get that wrong. I don't think you can get it too wrong. Whereas I will never try a burger or a hot dog because I just don't trust the meat.
Are we putting vinegar on it? Are we salting it?
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah,
and maybe a bit of ketchup, but actually salt and vinegar is fine. Yeah.
Love that. Okay, maybe I'll join you then.
Okay. Do we have time for one more? Have we got time for one? Let's try it. Let's go with Sam's question. What are your opinions on the calendar and the number of games throughout the season? So domestic leagues and UWCL could definitely have more teams, but can they actually cope with more matches? Would it mean more injuries? Interested to hear what your thoughts are on this. So Tash, you've been in these calendars. You know the toll it takes. Where's the breaking point, do you think?
I think it's very different if you're an international player to a non-international player. So when I was an international player, it was a lot more demanding because, you know, your weeks off, you didn't have weeks off. You know, you were away playing internationally at top level football, and mentally you didn't really get that time to switch off either. But I finished international football at maybe 27. So for a good 10 years of my career, I was a non-international. And actually, I didn't feel like I had enough games. I think I can only talk for my last couple of years in the WSL for Liverpool and Reading. It was very stop-start. You know, you could have three games in a week and then not have a game for 3 weeks because of international periods. And I just didn't like the scheduling at all, if I'm being completely honest, Lindsay. I felt like you couldn't get momentum, you couldn't get flow. When you did get your flow, then all of a sudden it was stopped. I actually think that's why, for the first time in my career over 20 years, I got muscle injuries. I tore my calf and I tore my hamstring, purely because of, I think, the stop-start and the change of loads. So I think it's something that has to be changed, you know. And I also think with regards to the scheduling and how the women's game clashes with the men's game all the time as well, I think scheduling has to be something that is prioritised, because I even look at the Liverpool setup. You know, I was very excited to go and watch the women play against United soon. And then the men's game has been changed now, obviously, because of being televised to the Sunday. So it clashes again with the women's game. So I've only been able to go and watch two games for the women this season because of how much it's clashed. But look, it's hard because injury-wise, you could then say that international football players have been playing too much football, and that's why maybe your big names have done their ACLs, your Sam Kerrs, your Mida Mars, your Beth Meads, you know, all these players. I mean, that's only to name a few. There's been a handful of players. Is that because on the international stage they're not getting breaks? You know, all throughout the summer they're playing major tournaments. They maybe get 1 week off over the summer, you know, to kind of switch off. That's not enough. So I think there has to be a balance. And maybe the top teams can afford to rest their international players when they come back, but the majority of squads don't have big enough squads to be able to do that. So, yeah, it's definitely an issue. But players want to play games, Lindsay, full stop. You know, I think if you were to say to a player, do you want more games than less, they would say they want to have more games, but there has to be a balance.
And this all feeds into expanding the leagues. And we know that that's going to happen at some point. We're going to get to a point, I think, where we'll have about 12 or 14 teams in the top two leagues. That will happen eventually. And I don't really understand at the moment why the season starts sort of late September or mid-September. Because in tournament years, I know that you've got to go with the calendar for UEFA and for FIFA, but they often are on non-men's tournament years. So that summer is pretty clear, isn't it? It could, the World Cup and the Euro Championships can happen at the time when they would have happened for the men, because they're in odd years compared to the men. So if we have an even and odd years, why can't then the domestic season, if it's expanded, start in line with the men's season? So it could be start of August, end of July. And it will make the season a bit longer, but it would give more games and it would make it a little bit more competitive. I think that's probably needed. I wouldn't want to see the month break at Christmas, which is pretty much a month. I wouldn't like to see that reduced too much. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 weeks would be fine. But I would like to see us maintain that winter break, because I think that's one area where we'll never get that back in the men's, but it's probably something that we could do with. So it's something to think about when you think about the calendars. But it's all reliant on other factors, isn't it? And how they expand the leagues. And also, we haven't got to just consider the UK. We've got to consider the rest of Europe and the world as well.
No, it is. It's really complex, Lindsay. I don't know if there is a right or wrong way, but it's something that I think definitely needs improvement moving forward.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there for this week. Thank you very much, Tash, once more. That's the mailbag done and dusted. And who knows, we might have some new video questions in for next week. So a reminder that we will be putting a link out about how you can get in touch with the show on our social channels. At Offside Rule Pod on X, on TikTok and Instagram. Keep an eye out there. Remember as well to leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. It will help other people find the show. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back again next week. Bye-bye.
The Offside Rule Mailbag. Send us your questions on social media. We're at Offside Rule Pod. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.